Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, May 11th, 2017. This is Peyman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night, folks, Freedom Law School has this weekly conference calls, in which I do my best to answer any and all of your freedom law questions. Any questions you have about how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Because America was meant to be a free country, folks. Not like where I came from, Iran, where we had no freedoms. You could not speak up. You could not criticize the government. You could not expose government corruption and criminality and get away with it. In America, you can. In America, you have a thing called freedom of speech. And that's a very critical thing. Big difference in America and much of the world. You have freedom to think, to read, to make up your mind, to express your views, share it with other like-minded people. And so it saddened me to see, folks, that America will be losing our freedoms. And the main problem is people don't know what's going on out there. You are enslaved because you literally don't know how you've been enslaved. And Freedom Law School will talk about all that and help you become free once again. If you've not been to our website at livefreenow.org, please do so. That is your primary source of education there. If you want to read a lot more, go to freedomlawschool.org. Be sure to sign up at livefreenow.org for our free freedom education package that you will not find anyplace else. It will be first mailed to you, a part of it, and then the rest of it you'll be receiving every few weeks by email from Freedom Law School. And I want to congratulate you, folks, for finding Freedom Law School, because, again, we are very unique. You will not find a school of law dedicated to educating and empowering the average American like you on how to live free. Live Free Now is really Freedom Law School's goal for each and every one of you and for all of us to work together as a people to restore freedom to America. Also, be sure to go to our Facebook page, become a fan of Freedom Law School, and stay in touch with us and like-minded people like yourself. Folks, in America, we have a system where money runs everything. Money controls things. And the money in America is not owned or created by the American people or our government. Money is issued and created out of thin air by big banks and small banks too, but primarily by the big banks that own the New York City Federal Reserve Bank, which is the head of the beast of the Federal Reserve banking system, where they create money out of thin air, these banks, literally out of thin air, to lend out at interest to you and me, other Americans, companies, and even governments in America. The federal government also has to borrow money from the Federal Reserve and the big banks, Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citi, and Goldman Sachs. Those are the big five, the big crooks. With that money, they all buy off the media in this country. New York Times, Washington Post, all the major daily papers in America. ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN. Okay. They all control things, folks. So you don't know about the truth. They own our politicians. Paul Ryan's, Chuck Schumer's, Clinton's, Bush's, McCain's, Lindsey Graham's, Pelosi's. They own them, most of the politicians out there in America. The leadership, surely they do. It's time to wake up, take our country back. And the income tax system, folks, is a little brother or sister of the money system. There is no lies, I assert, that requires the average American like you or me to file and pay income tax as Americans. It's utter fraud, deception, lie, extortion. American people have been reduced to slaves, working for the big banks. Banks produce nothing except money out of thin air. As Mayor Amschel Rothschild said, the great-grandfather of the Rothschild International Banking family, give me the control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws. What a profound statement. Because with that money, they can just buy off the politicians and the media and anybody else out there they need to. So it's about time, folks, overdue, to take our country back. But we're going to start with educating you about your rights, about immediately to help you and start you on your journey to the truth out of this corrupt, lying matrix of lies. You literally took the red pill by coming to Freedom Law School. The rabbit hole, folks, will only get deeper. So buckle up your seatbelts and prepare. What I do with these conference calls every night, I will answer your questions after I do the class on a particular subject of interest to all of you. Tonight, I will be talking about how, as an American, your wages and salaries are not subject to withholding or stealing by your employer for giving to the It Really Steals agency or It Really Sucks agency, IRS, that sucks your wealth and reduces you to poverty, where you don't have savings or much of savings, where you have to be in debt to big banks, to credit cards, to buy your groceries. That's what's going on in America, folks. So we'll talk about this whole withholding issue, and I'll prove it to you. And I invite you not to believe me or anybody else out there from law school, will show you how to use the law library, how to look up these things for yourself. I always say, this is Pay Mama Tehede, and do not believe me or the government or anybody else out there on the internet. I will take you to government's own website, to the law, written by the government, for you to see the law for yourself and decide, is your wages something that you're supposed to pay income tax on and with being withhold from? The withholding is a key issue. Last week, Commerce Call that we had, May 4th, I covered higher wages on our income. Okay. This week, I'm going to talk about the withholding part. Are you supposed to have withholding from your paycheck or not? It's a subject that I get asked about quite often. So I thought, well, let's delve into the subject in detail. And Freedom Law School has courses available, folks, that goes into all these issues and a lot more in detail. So take advantage of our courses and also Freedom Packages that, in addition to education, also provides assistance and also help you respond back, write letters for you to get the IRS and these crooks and thieves off your back. If the IRS is harassing you in any way, these thieves and crooks, whether you file or don't, Freedom Law School stands ready to educate you, one, and assist you to, if you wish. So get your computer opened up, personal computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, because we're going to be using it, folks. I'm going to turn that device into your personal law library. You know, thanks to the internet, folks, we will have a revolution on our hands, folks. I think internet is going to be the key thing will help us expose government illegality, expose crooked bureaucrats, criminal treasonous judges who are enforcing non-existent laws down the throat of the American people by force and deception. Because it used to be only they, the high priests of the system, could read the law. Now you can read and see the law for yourself. That's what the Catholic Church was able to do before Gutenberg created the Gutenberg Press and able to publish and print Bible by the thousands for everybody to read for themselves. Well, we're going to read the law for ourselves from the government's own website. And let me tell you why this is important. You see, what you don't know, I bet you don't know this. The way the law is administered, actually enforced in our courts of justice when it comes to income tax, you would think the judge would just show the jury of the citizens when someone's charged with, for example, not having filed a 1040 income tax confession form, here is the law that requires this defendant who had not filed and paid income tax to file and pay income tax. You would think that's what the judge will do to the jury. Here is a law that the guy broke. But no, it doesn't happen that way. What happens is he's biased, government biased, crooked, treasonous, wimpy judges. They tell the jury something like this. IRS code sections 161, 63, 6011 and 6012 in combination require this defendant to file and pay income tax. And blah, 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 blah. The jurors, folks, you know, most of them file and pay income tax because most of them are government workers, big corporate company workers, hospitals, military contractor, employees, people who work for wages, have to file to get some of the money that was stolen from the paycheck back. Their buddies and friends and coworkers file. So they assume everybody got to obviously file income tax because everybody does it around them. And so they don't even bother listening to these code sections. They just assume that, you know, they everybody, duh, knows you have to file income tax. The judge does not actually ever provide the text, the language, the words of these IRS code sections to the jury for them to read and see and understand for themselves. The judge, of course, never does that, as at the request of the government lawyer, the United States Department of Injustice lawyers. They call them United States attorneys. They tell the judge, don't show the jury the actual words of the law because that will so-called confuse the jury, quote unquote. Well, of course it will confuse the jury. You're right. Because the jury will get to see that the crooked judge, the laws he's actually mentioning actually do not require the average American, like this defendant, to pay income tax. Well, folks, we won't do it the way the judges do. I'll show you the law for yourself, and you will be able to give this information to other people and give them the red pill and expose the truth, because that's the way to start for our freedoms. So let's go to your computer device you have, and I want you to type this. And by the way, most people use Google for their search engines. I don't. I used to. Google has started censoring the internet. They hired 10,000 people to censor politically, controversial websites. So you do particular searches, the results of these people will not show up on the first page or two. Because most people, they look on the first page or two of the searches and they don't go farther. So I don't use Google. I invite you to censor Google as much as you can. I use DuckDuckGo.com. If you're using Google right now or Bing on all that, that's fine. But DuckDuckGo is a private one. Startpage, other ones are not as good as I found for their search engines. So let's do it together. You're going to find a little bit different search results for you. But I'm going to use DuckDuckGo.com. Okay. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go type on your internet search engine, search browser. This what I'm going to tell you. The number 26 space USC space 7701. Okay. So here we go again. 26 space USC space 7701. Now, why did you type this? Okay. Well, because there's 52 categories of federal law. And they call these categories titles or codes. That's all it is. And title 26 or category 26 or code number 26 is about taxes, including income taxes. They call that United States Code. So 26 USC stands for category 26 of United States Code or codes of the United States. So USC stands for United States Code. You just learned something new. Then the categories of law on taxes has close to 10,000 different sections and many different subsections. So 7701, the section 7701 is on definitions. Okay, IRS took the time to define the terms that will be used when it comes to taxes. Very specific definitions. So let's go check it out. Now, when you type it up, you know, usually I found that Cornell Law School website comes up for most search engines. The ones that law.cornell.edu, that's fine, but I like to go to government websites. Okay, either, you know, the House of Representatives, your United States House of Representatives, or the government printing office. So I'm going to be between these two. I'm going to go, you know, back and forth between these two. Okay. In this case, let's go to, my number four for me is GPO.gov. You see something with GPO.gov? Okay, go there. 26 USC 7701. The one that says GPO.gov, go to that one. Right click on that with your mouse and open that link in a new tab because we're going to be opening multiple tabs. Okay. And go there. And you see this one is, it says on top of the page, GPO, U.S. Government Publishing Office. This is the official government office that publishes the laws for United States government executive branch under the President of the United States. And when you go there, 7701, they have the format on the top center, on the text, okay, or PDF, okay. I like to go to the text. Click on the text on the top center, and the text of the law will come. The PDF will give you a PDF of the law. And now you see on top left of the page, it tells you exactly what the law is. You can read it. You can print this out, folks, for yourself and take it to your employer, anybody, your friend, at coworker. Show them the law. Blow them away with the law, with the truth. On the top left of the page, you see it tells you 26 USC, United States Code, 2011 edition, because it hasn't changed in the last 6 years, okay? Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, okay? And you see, you know, Section 7701 definitions. From the U.S. Government Printing Office, www.gpo.gov. See, so when you show this to somebody, they cannot tell you, oh, you're crazy. You're just making stuff up. You like to believe what you want to believe. You're just saying it. Nope, I'm not saying anything at all. I'm just reading the words published by the United States government. Here it is. And on the top left, it says it. You know, if you don't believe me, please go to the government's website and read it for yourself. So you see here, it says 7701 definitions. When used in this title, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof. Okay, what does that mean? It's kind of a little bit of a way out for them, you know, this description they got, you know, the defining words, like person. Look at the word person. Person, the term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation. Okay, so, okay, you cover just about everything in there. What else is there? You know, but they say that unless it's otherwise distinctly be expressed or manifestly incompatible. You know, well, it's there, obviously. They're defined. Look at the term corporation defined, number three. The term corporation includes associations, joint stock companies, and insurance companies. Okay. How about go number nine, United States. The term United States, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Okay. The term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out provisions of this title. See, they define everything, folks. They do not go by the general understanding of these terms. They specifically in law define things to make sure there is no misunderstanding by anybody. Okay? You know, go further down on this list. But I want to show you first how long this list is. Go down. Keep going down. Just scroll down. It says pages and pages and pages long. Okay, here. This is just very long. We will go down to P. You know, go through, you know, 7701, A, B, C, D through P. And each of them has many more subsections. They define all kind of stuff. So let's go back up to the top of the left page. And we're going to go down and look at number 17. Look at this. 17, husband and wife. How do you like that? You think you know what husband and wife means? Duh. Everybody knows what husband and wife means. You need to define that? Really? Well, guess what? They do define it. It has a very specific definition in law. So, guess what's right above that? On number 16, withholding agent. Ah, that's what your employer thinks he is. Withholding agent. Yeah, after all, he is, as an agent of the IRS, withholding money from your paycheck, which is a nicer way of saying stealing your money. Take your money by force. Take your money involuntarily is another nice way of saying it. You know, they take your money, you know, withholding it, they call it. He's an agent of the government, right? Because he's doing it on behalf of the government. Well, his role is very specifically, a job is defined here. So it says, the term withholding agent means any person required to deduct and withhold any tax on the provisions of sections 1441, 1442, 1443, or 1461. There it is, folks. Those are key four sections. And it's very clear. The withholding agent, you know, is required to deduct and withhold tax under these four sections of the IRS code. By the way, they call it the Internal Revenue Code. People commonly call it the IRS code, but it's called the Internal Revenue Code. So your employer is a withholding agent probably if these four sections apply to him, right? So let's see what these four sections are. We're going to look them up one at a time. Section 1441 is the first one. Again, in the past, folks, you couldn't know this stuff. See, back in the early 1990s, 1993, when I first learned, actually, it was 1992, learned how to use the law library, I have to go physically to the Orange County Law Library in Santa Ana, California, to physically get the books off the shelves, the right book, open to the right page to find the law. And then I had to go to a copy machine they had there, pay 15 cents a page to copy the law and take it home with me if I want to study it further. Here it's free now, thanks to the internet. And we can look up all these laws one after another easily. Let's go do another one. Let's open a new tab, folks, on your computer. We're going to look up section 1441, 1441. Type in there 26 space USC space 1441, right? IRS code section 1441. And let's see. This time, let's go to a different, let's go to the House of Representatives website. Okay, the one that says uscode.house.gov. If you get that as one of the ones you get, click on that. You can go to gpo.gov and do the same process with it. Get the text or PDF of the law and read it. But I want to show you guys what the House of Representatives, their webpage looks like. So click on that one, right click on that one, and open that link in a new tab. Okay, let's go to the new tab now, and there it is. 26 USC 1441, withholding of tax on non-resident aliens. That is interesting, because apparently this section applies only aliens, non-Americans, that do not reside in America. Someone from England, Germany, Japan, China, who's visiting, doesn't live here permanently. That's a non-resident alien, like on a tourist visa. Okay, a singer or athlete who's here for some event. Whereas someone who is a permanent residency, they have what's called a green card. Now that person's a permanent resident. They don't have to get a visa to come to America. They can stay in America as long as they want. They're not a citizen, but they're permanent residents. They can stay in America as long as they want. So there it is. This is Congress of the United States, their website. And let's go read what it says. Okay, scroll down. It says withholding of tax on non-resident aliens. Okay, now, with these code sections, folks, I'm going to kind of sometimes ignore some of the irrelevant, superfluous language, because, you know, they write these laws sometimes so doggone complex, unnecessarily, in my opinion, sometimes, you know. And to get to the key point, the key that words are relevant. The other stuff is not even relevant to our discussion, so we're going to skip those parts, okay? So here's what it says. Except as otherwise provided in this subsection, C, all persons in whatever capacity, okay, acting, including lessees or mortgagers of real or personal property, fiduciaries, employers, and all other officers and employees of the United States. So anybody, basically, okay? Anybody in any capacity. Having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any items of income specified in subsection B, okay? To the extent that any such items constitutes gross income from sources within the United States, okay? Of, here's a key part now. Of any non-resident alien individual or of any foreign partnership shall, except as otherwise provided in regulations prescribed by the Secretary under Sections 874, deduct and withhold from such items a tax equal to 30% thereof. There it is. 30% must be withheld from any kind of payment that anybody makes to a non-resident alien who has gross income. See the term gross income that the IRS Code Section 61 talks about that we covered in last week's conference call. It's there for the foreigners. Guess what? Here's a clue right here, folks. The entire gross income that Section 61 talks about is intended for foreigners. If you have a foreigner has any items of gross income, a non-resident alien, if you're paying them money in any sort or fashion, you must withhold, deduct and withhold 30% of that money to give to the IRS. Well, I suspect almost all of you on this call are Americans. Maybe a few of you are permanent residents, green card holders, so this does not apply to you. Obviously, this law does not require your company you work for to withhold from your pay. So this is not the law. Let's go keep looking. Let's go back to the law and IRS Code Section 7701A16. And the next section we have to look up is IRS Code Section 1442. So let's open up a new tab on our computer, on our internet browser, and type in 26 space USC space 1442. Okay. Here we go. 1442. And for me, the House of Representatives came again as the source of the law, 26 USC 1442, withholding of tax on foreign corporations. Well, let's be sure, folks. Let's be sure that the law is about that, because the heading of the laws and anything in parentheses don't mean anything legally. Legally, what's in the law is not the headings or anything inside the parentheses. So we got to double check. Let's go look. I'll go to the one that came up from uscode.house.gov, the House Representative tab. Let's open that link in a new tab. And here we go. What do we get this time? We get 26 USC 1442, withholding of tax on foreign corporations. Well, you're not a corporation or a foreigner. So there it is, folks. The law is actually not very long. A, is general rule. B, exemption. C, exemption of certain foreign possession corporations. Okay, so the A, general rule, should cover it, and it does. Okay, so here it is. Let's read it together. Let's read A, general rule. In the case of foreign corporations subject to taxation under this subtitle, they shall be deducted, folks, and withheld at source in the same manner and on the same items of income as is provided in section 1441, a tax equal to 30% thereof. Bingo. So they're saying that just like the last section we read, 1441, in the same way, anybody paying any gross income to a foreign corporation must, withhold 30% right there at the source before you pay the person, before you personally pay the foreign corporation. Well, you're not a foreign corporation, so obviously that doesn't require you, to be withheld from your paycheck. Let's do more searching. We have two more sections to look up, 1443 and 1461. Let's go look up now, 26 USC, section, 141441, 26 space USC 1441. Okay, there it is. Did I get this section right or wrong? Let me see. I could have gotten it wrong, folks. I'm sorry, 1443, my mistake. Y'all make mistakes. 1443. Let's look it up. 1443. Okay. Well, this time for me, one of the top searches was not uscode.house.gov. It's like down near the bottom. So, but I'm going to go this time to the Cornell Law School for Variety, just to show you what that looks like, the website. For me, that was the first one, law.cornell.edu. You find that one? Click on it. It says foreign tax exempt organizations, okay? Put your mouse on that, right-click on it, open link, and then new tab. And here it comes. Very short section. Very short IRS code section. A and B. Let's read it. A, in the case of income of a foreign organization subject to the tax imposed by Section 511, this chapter shall apply to income tax includable under Section 512 in computing its unrelated business taxable income, but only to extend and subject to such conditions as may be provided under regulations prescribed by the Secretary. Well, again, this is all about foreign organizations. It's not about you. It's not about the average American. We don't need to even further talk about this. 1443 obviously is not the law that requires the average person money to be withheld from his paycheck. Could apply to foreign tax exempt organizations, perhaps. Okay, because there it is in that section B. It says income tax, income subject to section 4948. See, section B says, in case of income of a foreign organization subject to the tax imposed by section 4948A, this chapter shall apply, except that the deduction and withholding shall be at the rate of 4%. And shall be subject to such conditions as may be provided under regulations prescribed by the Secretary. So foreign tax exempt organizations pay a lower rate of tax of only 4%. That's all that is here, folks. No big deal. You are supposed to withhold any money, any gross income that you pay to a foreign tax exempt organization. They're not really exempt. You got to withhold 4% from this exempt organization. Let's go back to IRS code section 7701A16, where, again, withholding agent is defined. And we have one more section to look up. IRS code section 1461. 1461. This section must be the Irish Code section that requires employers all across this great land, America, requires employers, begin small, Walmart employees, McDonald's employees, to the little mom and pop shops, to withhold from the pay of the average American wage earner or salaried person. Let's look it up. We want to make sure that we do not leave any stone not turned. Section 1461. Let's open up a new tab. Type in there 26 space USC space 1461. Okay. Here it comes again. Liability for tax withheld is the heading of this law. Comes up many different sources. In this case, again, I like you, House of Representatives website came one of the top choices for me. uscode.house.gov. Let's go right click on that and open the link in a new tab. Okay. And there is the law. It's pretty short. This is the shortest section. Let's read it together. Liability for withheld tax is the heading. Every person required to deduct and withhold any tax under this chapter is hereby made liable for such tax and is hereby indemnified against the claims and demands of any person for the amount of any payments made in accordance with the provisions of this chapter. In plain words, it says anybody who is in this chapter, in these sections we already read earlier, 1441, 42, 43, who withheld from a foreigner or foreign corporation or a foreign tax exempt entity, they withheld any money from these foreigners, is now made liable to pay the tax to the government, of course. I mean, you don't take the money from these foreigners' pocket and keep it yourself. You're supposed to turn it over to the government. So you made liable to turn that money over to the IRS. And of course, he's indemnified, means you're protected against any claims and demands or damages or lawsuits, basically, by these foreigners who say, hey, you should take my money. Don't take my money. Don't take it and give it to the IRS. It's my money. No, sorry. Sorry, you foreigner. I am supposed to, by law, and I will, deduct and withhold from you money and turn it over to the U.S. government. I'm supposed to do that. I'm liable if I don't do it. And you cannot sue me because I'm just doing what the law tells me to do. And the law fortunately also has protected me from you suing me in a court for something that I'm doing only because I'm required to do by law. So, folks, where is it? I just proven to you folks that your company you work for is not one that's supposed to withhold from your paycheck. And if you're an employer, you're not supposed to withhold from the pay or steal from the pay of your employees. We've been scammed, folks, haven't we been? We've been lied to. We've been deceived for decades. And why? Because the law was hidden from us in the law libraries until internet came on. You have to go to a law library like I did. You know, who has ever heard of a law library? you know, regular libraries, but a law library. And some of them for a long time are open mainly to attorneys. Only attorneys would go in there. Lawyers would go look up laws. But the average American would not. The average American would just simply trust the government. We have a democracy. We have a government of by the people we vote. They represent us, and they're just doing their best to represent us, and we just trust them. Well, obviously, we trusted these bureaucrats and IRS employees and judges too much because they've been lying to us and deceiving the employers to withhold from the pay of innocent American wage earners who are in debt to the credit card companies because their money's being stolen before they have a chance to get it. People tell me all the time, I was talking to a young lady. One of my wife's relatives in another state, she says, you know, Uncle Paymon, we can't afford to get, like, you give your kids good milk, like grass-fed raw milk instead of the homogenized pasteurized milk of a cow that's been tortured in cages, basically living in cages, you know, small spaces with up the knee to the, you know, poop. You know, and the pea, and their fed genetically modified corn and soy, which is not the natural food of the cow, and their injected hormones, you know, to give more milk, and then and their injected antibiotics all the time in the food. In that's not the same as a cow in a pasture eating grass and not abused. Can you get that good milk and unadulterated, unchanged raw milk, which I'm advocate, by the way? And she said, "No, Uncle Paymon, we can't afford that." Can't afford it. We have to pay $4 a gallon regular junk milk from supermarket because we had to afford $8 or $10 a gallon, the really good quality milk for my children. You know, so how about eggs? Do you give them the regular eggs that are tortured in cages? You know, 30 eggs, chickens per cage all their life. They don't see outside. The beaks are cut off. They don't have to kill each other because they're going mad. Literally. Fed GMO, corn and soy only. They don't eat no bugs, no grass. You know, those eggs, $2 a dozen. Or could you buy maybe range-fed chickens, maybe about eggs, about $6 a dozen. Oh, no, we can't afford that, Uncle Paymon. Why? This is one of the main reasons. Americans do not have money left over to even eat good quality food. We are forced to eat garbage food, junk food, and get sick with illness because we're not eating good nutrition. This is widespread in America. These corrupt criminals in government, in the IRS, and the courts are causing sickness and disease indirectly because they're stealing your money. You cannot afford good quality food that will nourish the body of you and your children. So the questions asked of me after I showed this to people, well, Paymon, what do I do now? What do I do? Go to my employer to stop withholding from my pay? Well, that's a very good question. But unfortunately, this issue is not just a legal question. It's also a political question. Remember, see, the employer has power over you as an employee. He can fire you, get rid of you with a real or phony fake excuse if you make too much of a noise, too much of a hay for them. They don't want to deal with you. Your manager, your boss, they may be afraid to get fired. The company owner may be afraid to be audited by the IRS or harassed by the IRS. Okay, if they don't steal from your paycheck for the IRS. See, because your employer's boss is the IRS. In reality, that's the case. So you got to be careful the way you handle this, because I've known people in situations that they got fired, literally fired from the job by just showing the law alone. You know, sometimes you have to bend with the situation, because you'd rather have a job that they steal from your paycheck, some of it, and you get most of your paycheck, rather than have no job at all and go hungry and homeless in this Great Depression, where jobs are hard to find. Folks, the real unemployment rate in America is not the phony 5% figure they tell you. Those are lies. That 5% unemployment rate is approximately is the number of Americans that are getting government unemployment checks. If you're not getting unemployment checks because your unemployment check period ran out, okay, or you just can't find a good job, or you maybe you just had a commission job and you know that's not producing for you, they don't count you. Okay, they don't count you. They deliberately restrict the definition of unemployment to make it look lower than it is. It's actually about 25%. 1/4 of Americans are currently unemployed, approximately. Okay, that's like a Great Depression rates we had in 1930s, comparable to that. We are in a Great Depression. So you don't want to mess around too much with this issue because the politics of it. So it's got to be carefully done. Okay. And sometimes some of you may have a better wage or salary jobs. You may work for a bigger corporation, better paying jobs. Been there for 10, 20 years with experience. You know, you make maybe, you know, $70,000 or $150,000 a year. Well, gee, you're not going to go just get fired from that job because of this withholding issue and then find another job like that down the street next month. It may not be so easy to find another job like that. So that's why it's not such an easy black and white thing. I can tell you all what to do. However, the starting point is the law. The starting point is all these laws I just showed you. You will go and print it in your house from your personal printer off the internet. Get them off GPO.gov. The government printing office or House of Representatives website. Okay. Those are official government websites. I wouldn't even go to Cornell Law School website. So they don't say, oh, that's not what the law, who knows? That's maybe Cornell Law School website is mistaken. No, I got the official government websites. And basically what you got to do is talk orally and or in writing. Your employer and tell them, look, we all are supposed to follow the law, right? Right. You want to follow the law, and I want to follow the law, and we all should follow the law as good as we can, as clearly and correctly as we can, right? Right. Okay. Then let's both of us read the law together, see what it says, and then follow the letter of the law passed by our representatives in government to the T. Okay, here it is. And you basically go through this with your employer, what I just did for you here, basically. You just do the same thing in written or oral fashion. Okay, if it's a big corporation, you have to put it in writing because you won't see the person who makes his decisions locally to you. You have to give it to the payroll division or accounting division of your company to address it. If it's a small company, maybe has less than, you know, 10, 20, 30 employees, you can probably get to the company owner and sit down and show this issue and say, hey, look, there's an issue about my paycheck. I think there's some mistakes going on here with my pay. I need to address it with you. It's an important issue because I think we need to correct this big mistake. My money, my paycheck is being messed with, and I'm going to correct it with you. I want to go over that with you and follow the law correctly. And you get an appointment with your employer or the company owner and show them the laws. So basically, this is your starting point. And this should do it. If the employer is not afraid of the IRS, and if he talks to his accountant or certified public accountant, bookkeeper, tax lawyer, and they don't scare him and saying, oh no, don't do it, doesn't matter, you're gonna go to jail anyhow, the IRS will get you, you know, Ignore all this. The courts have said otherwise, because that's what they'll do. The so-called professionals will tell the employer, generally speaking, in some way or another, that it doesn't matter with the law, that the people's representatives in Congress of the United States wrote. They don't make the laws anyways. That's the theory of our laws. That's what we were told as a bunch of naive children in high school, senior class, government class, that, oh, that's how the government laws are made, by the legislature and implemented, executed by the executive branch, like the president, and the judiciary just merely interprets it as a check and balance between the two different sections and makes sure to do it correctly. That's the theory. The reality is the executive branch lawyer crooks go talk to in court to their government judge crooks and say, hey, buddy judge, you can't read the law this way because the system wouldn't work. It would fall apart. We have to admit for the last few decades that the United States government, who is supposed to represent the American people, have been ripping them off, scamming them for trillions of dollars and imprisoning and jailing tens of thousands of innocent Americans wrongfully. And you and me, these government lawyers like me, my class of people and your class of people, you the judges, we were complicit. We the ones that did it. We got together and conspired against the American people and made the law to be different than what it actually says. We don't want to do that, do you? Right? That'd be suicide. That'd be political suicide for us. We'd be out of a job. The American people would kick us out in a revolution like we had over 200 years ago. So the judges will cover up. Oh, yeah, we ignore all this stuff. They say it's so frivolous. You're frivolous. They won't even address the laws, the language of the law. The crooked court in the decisions will not even address the language of the law I just showed you. And that power goes through the IRS, intimidates the CPAs, accountants, tax lawyers, to tell the employers to ignore the actual language of the law and steal your money before you get a chance to get it. That's a reality of the situation. And the way we can stop it is more of us know about it. More of us put pressure back through each of you to your employer, pushing back against his accountant, CPA, lawyer, who tells him, you just take his money, otherwise you're going to get in trouble yourself, and saying, wait a minute, we are a nation of laws. The law is in front of me. I'm going to follow it as it says it. And I'm going to stand for the law. And it goes that way. And folks, there are good people out there in America and bad people. There are good employers out there, good CPAs, good accountants, good lawyers, and believe it or not, some good people in the government. In the United States Department of Injustice, there are some good people. Judges, there are some good ones out there who are intimidated by all this pressure on them to go along with the criminality and shut up. We need to push back, okay, and confront them, all of us across the country, through our employers. No, do not steal from my paycheck. Follow the law exactly as written by Congress of the United States. And tell them, of course, humbly, look, if I'm wrong about this law, if the text of the law is not this, if I got the wrong law, text of the law, I mean, this is the law that says it, please, please, please correct me. If a law's changed, correct me. I don't want to be wrong. I'm going to follow the law correctly, but wait a minute. This is indisputable. This is from government's own websites. This is the law. So that's what you should do. Hopefully, with that, they should start withholding from your paycheck. Regular income tax, okay? Or Social Security or Medicare. Because there it is. If they were supposed to withhold from your paycheck, they would show it in there. They would say, well, withholding agent, there's a section for Social Security. That would be included in there. That would be under withholding agent. One of the sections that's supposed to withhold from you, which mentioned the Social Security tax. That would be listed in there. The Medicare tax, the code section, would be another one. The regular income tax section would be another one. It would be listed there under section 7701A16. Now, some people, they try to say the crooked lawyers and judges. Well, you know, we don't have to do that because it's obvious. No, it's not obvious. You know, it should be listed there. Congress writes the laws very voluminous and detailed, in complex detail. They're not lazy to add a few more words. That never stopped them from writing a law. They write the law as detailed as necessary to make sure it's all there. Sometimes too much detail makes it harder to understand. So you're telling me that they wouldn't write a few more code sections, the Social Security tax section, the Medicare tax section, the regular income tax section? They would not list that in our IRS code section 7701A16 because they were too busy? It's a ridiculous argument. So this is your first step. If this doesn't work, you might be forced to do something else. And something else is the employers are under pressure to have you fill out a W-4 form. They said, that's what my lawyer says, CPA says, certified public accountant. You gotta fill out a W-4 form. You can put out an exempt if you want, or 20, 50, whatever number allowances you want to stop withholding or minimize it, but I gotta have that form from you. Well, let's go look at the W-4 form online, okay? Let's go online, open a new browser on your computer, okay? Okay, and type in W-4 form, enter, okay? W-4 form, here it is. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to images. Let's go find the form. I want the actual form that's there, the images. Okay, let's take one up, and here we go. I found one here, employers withholding allowance certificate. Okay, let's just click on any of them. Any of them, you see that, okay? It says, what's heading of the W-4 form? Employees withholding allowance certificate. Well, it's a form for you to allow withholding. So you have to allow your employer to withhold from your paycheck. That's what it says. Look at the name. Employers Withholding Allowance Certificate. This certifies that the employee is allowing withholding from his paycheck. Well, I don't want to allow it. I don't want to allow withholding from my paycheck. Well, you have to. Really? Well, yeah. Because if you don't, I'll fire you. If you don't, I'm going to get somebody else. If you don't, I'm afraid the IRS will come after me and mess with me. So do it or leave. So you may have to fill out this form. But you're not belonging to this place. If you do that, okay, then on line 7 here, okay, you can put exempt on there. You're saying, I allow it, the withholding, but then again, I'm exempt from it. You should not have to allow it in the first place to exempt yourself out of it. But that's they're forcing you to fill out this form. And the biggest problem with this form is this, folks. When you sign above employee signature, it says, on the penalties of perjury, I declare that I have examined the certificate, and to the best of my knowledge and belief, it is true, correct, and complete. So you're saying that you're allowing withholding. You don't want to, but you don't want to allow it. That's not true. And then you're saying that you're exempt, which is ridiculous. And so you're saying you believe in that. You believe in you're subject to withholding in the first place. And now you exempt yourself from it. Under penalty of perjury means you are swearing it's all true, correct, and complete, like if you're in a court of law with a judge. Testifying before a jury, it's the same thing. You go to prison if you lie. And guess what, folks? This form will be used against you in a court of law if your number comes up. But the crooked government to put you in prison. They will blow this piece of paper you sign on your work up huge, like 6-foot by 10-foot screen in front of the jury. I'm not kidding you. It's a big screen. In fact, juries, they blow up your signature line. See? See? Look what he signed. Under penalty of perjury. It's all true, correct, and complete. He knew. And he lied. He did fraud. And they charge you with tax evasion, potentially, for stopping the automatic withholding. See, to the government, the IRS, you wage and salaried earners are supposed to automatically have money stolen from your paycheck. And if you stop it, that was an act of tax evasion. That's a felony. That's a crime. Go to prison. Yeah, see, that's something you don't, a lot of people, patriots don't know that. That's why you want to avoid having to fill out this form at all. Because they can and will use it against you for stopping the so-called automatic withholding. Because automatically from almost all wage earners and salaried people, they steal their money with this means. So, if you do fill out this form, you're going to have to do two things. First of all, on the left side of the form, where there's some room, okay, right on there, basically, something that fits in clear, legible print that you're filling out this form, even though you don't believe you're required or should fill it out, but under duress. The word duress means D-U-R-E-S-S. Means you're doing it by force. Put up by force, duress. My employer's in requiring that I do it, otherwise I will not have this job possibly. I might be fired not to have a job. And then you make a note, say, see this other piece of paper attachment for further detailed explanation, which is a part of this form. There's not enough room here to explain it in full. So on the side of the form, you write that. You cannot cross out under penalty of perjury line above your signature. If you do that, the form is void. They want that rope around your neck. They insist on having a rope around your neck, folks. The form is no good. You cannot cross it out, but you can add to it. You can further explain it. That you can do. So you make a short explanation on the side, on the forced duress. You don't want to do it. You might be fired, lose your job. Employer requires it, demands it. And the other piece of paper. Then you say, this form is part of my W-4 form. And here's, you can take your time then, write in your own words in detail what I just showed you. And you're not required to be withheld from. Your employer is not supposed to withhold from you. And here is a copy of the laws. IRS Code Section 7701. The whole thing. All of it. 10 pages. A16 is the main part you're interested in, about withholding agent, but it's there. You're not hiding any part of the definitions. It's all there. And then the code sections that it refers to, 1441, 1442, 1443, 1461, print them all, attach it. Okay. And you can refer to them, refer to these code sections and attach it all with a staple to the W-4 form and make a copy, of course, for your files. Be sure to have a copy in your files. You see, if you don't have that note on the side of the W-4 and the attachment, you know what's going to could happen? If they come after you, the crooked lawyers and judges, without your note on the side of the form saying, I'm doing this involuntarily under duress, they may not let the jury see your attachment. They might say, oh, that's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. It's repetitious. Keep it from the eyes of the jury. Oh, yes. They play dirty tricks. And the judge will go along with it, possibly. But with your note on the side of the form, hey, I don't want to do this, and see the attached form as a part of this W-4, form the attached explanation, they have to have the whole first page, the form, to the jury. So they have to have the attachment too, because you refer to it. You refer to the statement. You say it's part of the form. And now the whole thing, your letter and the IRS code sections would all go before the jury. Now with that, the crooked United States attorneys in the United States Department of Justice and the IRS will not want to come after you for tax evasion, for filling out this form under duress involuntarily, because they know the jury will see the law in court. In practice, you will not be on trial. You will put the government on trial, because this is exactly what you relied on. The law, as actually spelled out by the Congress of the United States. And of course, the jury will acquit you as a hero, as a great patriot. The jurors will go get educated. Oh my gosh, we've all been scammed by the government. We should not have withholding from our pay either. And the word will spread. And the news will come out. You, the defendant, accused of tax evasion, was acquitted, not guilty, by the jury. Why? Because jury got to see the law. You attached it, the exact words of the law, to the form they're trying to use against you. See, this is available to us now. All of you can use the law in your favor by putting it right there before your employer. IRS agent who want to come after you will see it. The lawyers will see it. They're going to say, whoopsie, leave this guy alone. Go after easier targets. Somebody unprepared. This guy's prepared, folks. You see, that's why the IRS never came after me criminally or my student, the former IRS special agent with the IRS's own criminal investigation division agent, Joseph Bannister. They never came after him and I for not having filed the paid income tax, because they know that we both prepared. If we charge criminally, to show the law to the jury and practically put the government on trial and win. And that'd be horrible. That'd be worse for them. As long as the great numbers of American people are ignorant of the law, haven't never read the law, looked at the law, they can get away with a scam. But folks, the gig is up. If we take this to our employers, take this to your coworkers, I challenge you, I invite you, folks, take this to your coworkers and say, did I miss something here? Go do it humbly, folks. Don't be confrontational, okay? Go to your coworker, go to your manager, go to whoever at your work was a smart guy, okay, engineer or some accountant or somebody educated, they got degrees, and say, hey, you read law better English starting than me. Did I miss something here? This is what I see. Help me with this thing. And through that process, you know, wake up more Americans. And we got to do a lot more of that, folks. And that person will wake up a bunch of other people. And on and on and on. And we're going to get our country back and stop this withholding from your wages and salary scam. Because once more people figure out that this is a scam, the thing will collapse. The entire system will collapse. You know, in our Freedom Catalog, there's a page. I printed a quote from this Senator Helen Belmont in 1967, I think it was, who said this. This is a quote. In a recent conversation with the management of the IRS, I was told that if the American people ever realize that the IRS is mostly bluff, the entire system will collapse. Think about that, folks. Bluff. The IRS does not have the manpower and resources to go after large numbers of American people. They just can't do it. The courts will be too full. They have to change the system. But the numbers gotta be large. And the way we do it, by you. Don't just try to get yourself off withholding from your job by using all this. Great. If you want to do it, fantastic. I'm not discouraging you. Yes. Do confront them with the law. Do you follow the law and use the law in your favor? But you're not doing yourself enough of the favor if you don't share this information with other people and collectively have all of us take action. By waking up more people, this word of mouth needs to go on to other people. Share this video. We're going to put it on YouTube, okay, with other people, on your Facebook page. Email it to your friends. Hey, help me understand this thing. Your brother-in-law, your father-in-law, your sister, brother, anybody, co-worker, football coach, teacher, friend, anybody. Okay, let's have some fun with it, folks. I'm having fun. I hope you can tell. I'm having fun because there's nothing the government could do to shut me up. It's not like Iran that they could take you and I and put us in jail, disappear. They could put you in jail, disappear, and then torture you. Summary trial, no trial. Jail for many years or execute you. In Iran, they could have done that. I grew up in the 1960s that way. In America, we don't have that. So exercise your First Amendment rights by sharing this information about the law. We want the government to follow the law. We're going to get rid of this income tax, folks. And what should be replaced with, by the way, people ask me, is the tax on imports. Yes. First of all, we don't need all these wars. We're involved in the Middle East. Okay. Iraq, Syria, Libya, Sudan. We want to invade Iran. We don't need all these wars. Wasting trillions of dollars, making our veterans, you know, maiming them and killing them. We don't need all this war. Save the money on that. We don't need to bail out the big banks, the corporations, subsidize them. We don't need all that stuff. The federal government spending should be cut down to constitutional level, which would be a lot less. Tax imports from China, from Mexico, from Canada, from Japan and Korea. That's how the government should raise its revenue, okay? And you get to have your whole paycheck so you can afford to live a better life and save some money for yourself, for your future. And America and your children and grandchildren will prosper like we had in the 1800s, folks. Think about it. America grew rich from very small. In 1800, America was just about 13 different states. The population of U.S. was about 10 million. But by year 2000, America had become a world-class country, the most economic number one force in the whole world, richest country in the whole world, with no income tax. Tax on imports was the main way of income from U.S. government. See, it was put out as a Soak the Rich campaign. Use our jealousies to soak the rich. But guess what? At the end, it was used to enslave the poor and the middle class and the working middle class. And the rich always figure out a way to reduce the taxes. Always. They buy off the politicians. So if you want to know more about this, open up a tab on your computer. Okay. Bring up YouTube. Type in youtube.com. Okay. And type in the perfect tax. The perfect tax. Okay. It'll come up right there. Speech by my friend, G. Edward Griffin. A lost formula rediscovered. Okay. Get Griffin, give a great explanation of this issue, that's a tax we should have to replace the Social Security tax, Medicare tax, income taxes, all gone. Tax on import, get rid of all this unconstitutional spending, all this illegal, unconstitutional, aggressive wars. Get back to America first, and America will be free and prosperous once again. Now, if you want further assistance with this thing, folks, I'm available. Okay. I don't put the forms, anything online yet. At this point, I've been thinking about the issue whether to put online or not. Sample letters, I may not do that. I'm still thinking about that issue, to be honest with you. I'm a little cautious guy. I don't jump into things. On the one hand, I want you all to have it. I might just do that for that reason. On the other hand, I want you all to do it right, so you don't get in trouble. Because if I put out the form out there, you don't do it right, then I'm afraid some people inevitably will come and call me and say, yeah, I did what you said. It didn't work. This happened. That happened. What I do? And I kind of feel responsible to help them out, which I do want to do, but I haven't figured out a system how to do that yet. Okay. But for right now, anybody who gets through a one-on-one private consultation, I can go over this situation with you and how to do it right, how to do this thing. The Quick Start Freedom Package includes the consultation and a level one course. And I can provide the form to you and help you through this process, because I believe most of the times you will face resistance from your employer. Almost always they insist on taking Social Security and Medicare, no matter what. Okay. They may let you not take, stop withholding of income tax, regular income tax. Okay. So, and I want you to be able to go forward as much with the law as much as you can, actually, without getting fired. Okay. So, but the more I think about it, I probably will put it on the internet one of these days, and you can call the commerce calls about these things. But at this time, I haven't done that, but I'm available. Because, folks, I'm so busy, I haven't had the time to really develop more of this information, which I'm going to put on Freedom Law School's website at livefreenow.org. So hopefully I won't be so busy. I'm planning to, get some things better organized and make some time available this summer to put more of this material written down, proofread it nice for you guys, so you can all use it in a large-scale basis to educate Americans and stop this violation of the law. Stop the violation of American people's rights. Stop the stealing of your money. Stop the government from stealing your money and take out your savings. Take out your food money from the mouth of you and your children. I'm going to stop that and have the government follow the law and bring government that follows the law, lawful government, and peace and prosperity to all Americans that we want. So with that, folks, I'm going to start taking some of your questions now about anything I covered or any of the questions you have. If your questions don't get fully answered tonight, I will cover it. Call back next week. Please do so. I'm going to help all of you folks. But we got only 35 minutes left of the commerce call right now. So let's see if you have a call question now from the call from area code 828. Call from area code 828 if you have a question. Give me only your first sure. name, not last John. Name, for your privacy. Do not give me, okay, John, okay? Now, how did you hear about Freedom Law School, John?
You go awfully fast, I got to tell you that, and it's hard to keep up with you. But when we went through this, I believe that there's a difference between wages and income. And the IRS, in their definition, have included wages as part of income, and it is not. Right?
Wages and salaries are not included in gross income on the IRS Code Section 61, which I covered last week.
Okay. I haven't watched that one yet. Like I said, you go very fast, and it's hard.
I'm sorry. I would slow down. Let me go over that for you really quickly. Go on your computer browser. Okay. Open it up. And I'm going to segue into that subject briefly. Type in 26 space USC space 61. That will give you IRS code section 61, gross income defined. Okay. Now you can go and put your mouse on your search engine result that comes up, right click on it, open that search result in a new tab. And you go look at it and read it, you will see gross income defined section 61 comes up. And when you read it, it lists so many things like dividends and royalties and rents, but does not mention or list wages or salaries, which is the largest amount, category of income for most Americans. And in dollar terms, also it's the largest category of income out there. Congress did not include it clearly, deliberately, and tax laws got to be very specific and list everything that is subject to taxation. It cannot be implied. We covered that in detail last week, but I just want to give that to you for right now, John, on this issue. So what is your question, my friend?
Well, they say that one of the things that is general definition is commissions. And commissions are a wage paid to salespeople for completing the sale. Right?
Yes.
So they're not, so theoretically, supposed to be included as compensation for services rendered, and commissions are both wages.
What is your question? I don't understand your question, my friend.
My question is, basically, I've been teaching people from 4 years ago when I first attended your classes to write the word waived and sign it, or to write the words signed under duress and sign it and give it to your employer. And then when you go to pay your taxes, you just tell the tax accountant, I signed that under duress. I don't want to pay those taxes because they're not legitimate taxes on my wages. And if you tell me that I have to pay them, I will pay them, and I will take this to the United States District Attorney and have him file charges against you.
Well, they will not do that. U.S. attorneys will not come after them, unfortunately. They are the crooks that impose this corrupt system, John. And here's the thing. We're talking about tonight about withholding of tax on wages. On the question session, I try to help people with their own personal questions. IRS is harassing you in any way, state income tax agencies, traffic tickets, abuse by government agents of any kind. That's what I'm here right now to answer. If these theoretical questions you're asking the subject of the, this is a subject of another call, John. So okay, let me address this question another commerce call, because I'm not talking about commissions right now. Or after you, your money's been withheld from your paycheck, what to do. This is to how to stop the withholding if you choose to do so. Last week I covered the fact that wages and salaries are not covered. Another time I will cover how the American people's commissions and, you know, and other form of payment also are not taxed. Do you have anything issue that right now concerns you that you want to ask me with your situation, John, right now?
No, I don't. But thank you very much for your answers.
You're welcome, John. Let me see if there's anybody else has any questions of immediate concern. And if there's time left, I'll be happy to come back to you, my friend, and answer this off-the-topic questions you're asking tonight. Okay, but I want to make sure I help those in need who reach me only once a week at no charge through this conference call, my friend. Okay, thank you for your patience. We have a caller from area code 732. Call from area code 732. Hey. If you have a question, please announce yourself. First name first. Yes, sir.
Oh, what's your name? Oh, hi, Pam. My name is Zia.
Yes, Zia. How may I assist you, my friend?
I wanted to ask you about that idea that how we can win against traffic tickets all the time. Can you talk about that tonight a little bit?
Sure. I have fought traffic tickets in the early 1990s in California, and I won a bunch of them. And I use the approach of, you know, the traffic ticket is not a complaint, lawful document that charges you with a crime, according to California law and court cases. And so that's what it's based upon in the first course of Freedom Law School called A Practical Road to Freedom, Level 1. I covered that basics of that class. It's class number 6. Then in the other class called Beat All Traffic Tickets Now, I go over that issue in more detail, what more to do and say, and how to handle the appeal also. So for California,
what's the fundamental premise on that payment? What's the fundamental premise that these traffic tickets or any moving violation is not a lawful summons, let's say, I guess, right?
Because a ticket is a statement by a witness called the policeman, the cop, the sheriff, who saw you supposedly breaking the law. Well, the witness cannot be a prosecutor, just like the prosecutor cannot be a witness, or a prosecutor cannot be a judge. A judge cannot be a witness. They're separate roles. Mm-hmm. So when the government wants to come after you for a criminal act, the government lawyers must sign a piece of paper charging you with a crime. That charging accusatory document is called a complaint. Okay, and complaint must be signed by the government lawyer. Okay, because the government is a make-believe entity, has to have a lawyer representing the government. The policeman who wrote the ticket to you is only a witness. The ticket is only signed by a witness. The witness cannot come after you, charge you with a crime. So with a ticket alone, you could not be charged with a crime. Therefore, you've never been charged with a crime in the first place with the ticket. So the court.
Gotcha. But when you go to court, the prosecutor. Right. But isn't the prosecutor different than the police officer who gave me the ticket, though?
Yes. But in California, the prosecutors never show up. Okay. Well, the judge, for practically speaking, acts as a judge and a prosecutor. You know, without the government prosecutor filing a document charging you with a crime, you don't have to be there. You shouldn't be there in the first place. Okay? In the first visit, you go to court. There's nothing there. Mm-hmm. The ticket itself is not a complaint. You should not have to be there or come back to defend yourself at trial, which, again, the prosecutor, the lawyer will not show up. It will be the judge who, in practice, acts as a judge and a prosecutor. Okay? So that's you have the level one course, Zia. Listen to class 6,
yes,
my
I do.
Friend. It's covered in there.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Payman. Thank you.
Welcome, my friend. My pleasure. We have a call from area code 856. You have a question, caller? If so, please announce yourself now. No question there. How about that call from area code 605? If you have a question, please announce yourself now. Let's go to the call from area code 408. If you have a question, please announce yourself now. No question there. How about the call from area code 669?
Hey, man, this is Kwan. How are you, sir?
Good. And yourself, Kwan?
Good, good. Hey, what a fantastic, awesome, awesome call. Awesome. You know, I mean, I'm blessed to know you, you know. And thank you for calling me last week, but I sorry I didn't get back with you. But I wanted to ask you, I'm going to ask you in detail, but I've emailed to your friend. That person did not respond yet. And I'm working on getting the funds together to consultation for you.
Kwan, don't talk about all that stuff. Do you have a question? Do you have a question to ask me right now? If you have a question, ask
me. I just wanted if you can ask her to respond, and then and I will contact you when I have the funds together.
Okay, no problem. No problem. So no questions right now?
Thanks. I trust you, you know, at the moment.
Okay,
that's
thank you.
I'm concerned about my email.
Thank you. Hold on. Let me see, Kwan, if other people have questions, my friend, okay? Call from area code 818. If you have a question, please announce yourself now. No question there. How about the call from area code 941?
Yes, Paymon. John from Florida, and I heard about you from the Save a Patriot Fellowship. Heard on the news that there was a ruling from the 10th Circuit regarding the legality of income tax this week. And I didn't have a pen or a paper, and I wasn't recording it at the time. Have you heard anything about a ruling coming out of the 10th Circuit that's been favorable to our perspective?
I have not heard about it, and let me know. I'll be interested to take that. Yeah,
okay.
Please do. Thank you, John. You know, folks, you guys are my eyes and ears a lot of times. You may come across something before me, so please, if you come across something of interest to people in the freedom movement, I do appreciate you getting it to me. That way I can get it out to more people. Okay, we have a call from area code 336. If you have a question, caller, please announce yourself. Okay, no question there. Let me go back to Kwan. Area code is 669 before I cut you off, my friend. Did you have a question you want to ask of me right now, Kwan?
Not a moment. I don't want to discuss it on the call. I'd rather going to talk to you in over the consultation when I work on Guinea Feast. I have emailed to your assistant, and they get back to me, but maybe she's busy or something like that. No.
Okay. No problem. No problem. Okay. I don't like to do things by email. You know, I prefer telephone calls. Everybody should know, by the way, you know, emails take too much time to write. Spell check, grammar check, make sure it's the right, you know, format and you don't miss anything. And quite frankly,
right.
I speak faster than I type and more accurately, and I can correct it a lot easier. So I know a lot of you out there like texting and emailing. Not me. I'm not a fan of that. It just takes too much time.
Okay.
Okay. I type stuff. Oops, I misspelled things. I look bad. I don't have the time to go and correct it, folks. Just, I got a question, call. That's why I do these weekly commerce calls, Kwan, so I can take my time and answer your questions fully. If you want me to take my time more slowly and then, you know, privately, that's what a private one-on-one consultation is for. And John, the first person had a very good objection. She said, Paimon, you speak rather fast. And it is true. Oftentimes, I do speak rather fast, not because I want to. It is because I want to help everybody and give you as much useful information as possible. And there's only so much time available. And I figure that if I put it out there a little bit faster, you can go rewind it, you know, on YouTube channel of Freedom Law School. You can rewind what I said and listen to it a second time, and you're going to get the information that you want anyhow, rather than going a lot slower and running out of time and not covering a subject fully. Okay? Anything else, okay. Kwan?
No, no? It's, okay. I mean, I trust your staff, and I won't mention her name, but if you can talk to her, maybe she can respond. I've emailed her, but maybe she's busy or something like that.
Kwan, no, I don't want you to email her. I want you to call. I ignore emails. I'm telling you, my volunteers or myself, I'm telling you, do not email. I don't have the time.
Okay.
Stop. Because if I don't get your email, guess what? I probably won't ever get to it. Because if the bunch of email comes through, don't have the time to come back. Oh, I had an email a week ago. It gets forgotten about. You think, oh, you're ignoring me. No, I'm not ignoring anybody. I'm just too busy to go back and, you know, come back or look for the email from 3 days ago because I was busy then and do that, you know, call. Folks, Freedom Law School has a telephone number. Use it, 813-444-4800. And our website, livefreenow.org. I put the number right there on the top of the page, 813-444-4800. Why? So you don't email. Because email, if I don't email you back, you think somebody ignoring you. No one's ignoring you.
Okay.
Email take too long.
Okay. I promise no more email. No more email. Okay. I promise. Okay.
So what do you want to ask me now? What do you want to know? If you got a question, ask right now.
No. I want to ask you. I'm asking in the private conversation. I'm getting the funds together. As soon as I get it, we'll talk. Kind of the main person for me. You know. So thank you.
You got it. You got it, Mark. Okay. You're welcome.
God bless you, brother. I love what you do, man. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Kwan. Thank you very much for your support and kind words. I do appreciate that. Okay, folks, I want to thank you all for calling tonight. And I invite you to take this education. You learned something about the law that you did not know. If you did not listen to the last week calls, listen to it. On our YouTube channel, we're going to have more and more of this information available for you to check it out. Share with other people, and folks, that way you can be free, folks, and all of us can be free. You do your part, I do my part, you live a free life, and return freedom to America at the same time. Good night, everyone, and I hope you come back next Thursday night again. Bye-bye.